Oh, glory to God. Let's take just a minute and thank the Lord for what He's doing in our lives as we prayed Sunday night and seeing all that sickness beat down in our midst and the name of Jesus overcoming. Amen.
Amen.
He deserves all the praise. Hallelujah. Let's just praise Him for it. Father, we thank You for the great promises of Your Word. We thank You, Lord, that You were bruised on our behalf and that by Your stripes, we are a healed people, Father. We take that covenant to ourselves. It's rightfully ours. You've proclaimed it, Father, and we refuse to live with any less than You've provided for us. So those among us, Father, that are still afflicted, raise them up, Father. Encourage their hearts even now. You came, Lord, and it says that you took sickness out of the midst of Your people, And because of that, we boast in You and we delight in You. Now, Lord, we exalt You tonight again. Just be lifted up in this place. You inhabit the praises of Your people. So we come to worship You. We come tonight to say thank You, Lord, that this is a great and finished work that You've done. There's not another thing to be done, Lord. We've been delivered. We've been redeemed. We have been, Lord, placed back into fellowship as sons of God and heirs and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. No more to be done. And so we just say, thank You, Father. Be glorified here tonight. We stand as Your children to boldly declare what You've done and to delight in it. Lord, for one purpose, that in all of this You might be glorified. That You would be exalted in the eyes of Your creation. That men would stand and see Your glory and proclaim Your goodness. It's our heart's desire, Father, and so we just boast in what You're doing and ask You to continue that great work in us. And for it, Father, we'll be careful to give You all the praise and we'll give You all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. You know, we've been dealing with the different aspects of the preparation of the church and talking just recently about the great authority that we as the church have, that the gates of hell can't prevail against us. Amen. And we were relating it, of course, to the deliverance of souls, lives that are in bondage, the God of this world having blinded the eyes of unbelievers. The scripture says, lest they would be able to see and comprehend and then partake of that glorious light, that illumination of the righteousness of God and the majesty of God. Blinded their eyes, lest they should be able to believe. And we want to talk a little bit about that believing aspect and not just in soul winning today, but where we are in light of the warfare that's going on in the heavenlies, our prayer lives, our battle with these sicknesses that will rise up in conflict, of course, with God's will for our lives as His covenant people. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Amen? And so, we're going to talk a little bit about that aspect, faith, and what it really is in the life of the believer and how we can see it stirred up in our lives. Let's look over at James for just a moment tonight and we understand that faith goes way beyond a doctrine. It goes way beyond a belief system. To move in biblical faith after having had that audience with God, we know that the scripture says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God or a spoken word to us specifically as individuals in whatever circumstance we're in. We've been taught on this for many years that there is a difference between the Logos word of God and the Rhema word of God. The Logos word being the person of Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The general revelation of the Word of God, thy Word is truth. And so we see then that Logos, that revealed Word of God, or covenant promises that have been made to mankind and to the church based upon our specific relationship with Him. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. And so we know those promises. We know that Hebrews says the Word of God is alive and powerful. Amen? What a powerful force these promises are. This isn't just leather and ink and paper. Oh, the book is, but the truth. Amen? God and His Word are one. And so it's not just an understanding or a doctrinal issue. Faith comes by our relationship to God. If we abide in Him, our individual daily reliance upon God as the source of our breath, our life, of all that we involve ourselves in a daily basis. That's what it means to abide in God. You're trusting Him for everything down to your individual breath. We can work on that a little, can't we? You know, we get a little self-reliant. We get out walking on our own. We get caught up in the cares of the world. We get caught up in all of the rigmarole of work. We need to try to develop a God awareness constantly. Practicing the presence of God. Are you conscious of His voice speaking to you at all times throughout the day? In the midst of your daily work and all of the phone calls, in between phone calls. How about just in the pause in the conversation to remind yourself that God is there present with you, to give you wisdom, amen? To help you keep your integrity so you conduct your business properly. To keep you from being sidetracked by covetousness and different lusts. We got to know His presence at all times. If you abide in me, in Him we live and move and have our very being. Tasting of the goodness of God consciously, continually. We can develop that. Amen? Think you can do a better job? I can. Those that come to God must believe that He is, that He is ever present, that He is speaking to us continually. You've got to understand something. There's not a moment when God's voice is not available to us. There's not a moment that God's ears are not available to us. Oh, how we need to redeem that time and abide in Him. And His words, Rhema, audience specifically spoken for a specific purpose. Abide in us. We can ask what we will, and it shall be done. And so James tells us very clearly as we look at these truths, and in James chapter 2, passage of course we're all familiar with, there's nothing new. But hopefully God will give us illumination in how we can more practically apply these things. And not only practically apply them, but apply them with a greater consistency. Apply it with a greater accuracy to be able to represent Him more fully. And James says this very simple passage, and yet the key to answered prayer, the key to the power of God, the key to faith. And he says in verse 17, even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead. You see, much of our faith dies on the vine because we don't act on it. We just keep hoping. We believe that we're believing. But we understand and we know from our past studies that we know that belief is an active force, isn't it? To believe on something is not just intellectual assent that says, yes, I accept that as being true. It's acting upon it. And we've seen it through we see it in the scriptures, we've seen it in some of the great testimonies that we've talked about in the past. You know, I was just reminded of the testimony of John G. Lake as we were talking about sickness having no right to stay here in our midst. And you remember I shared the testimony not too long ago about when that plague had hit there in South Africa. And some kind of a plague, I don't even remember what it was, but it was something similar to the bubonic type plague. I mean, everybody that it touched was dying. The people that were trying to help those around, they were dying. The doctors were dying. Nobody would go into that town. And he volunteered. He said, I'll go in there and I'll help the people. And he said, that stuff won't affect me. And people stood in amazement. I wonder how many people that believed in divine healing, that believed in divine authority, that believed that we were given more power and all authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means could harm us. I wonder how many people who believed you could drink any deadly thing and it wouldn't harm you. You could take up serpents. Stayed outside the city limits. How many people believed that didn't act on it? Well, the scripture tells us the only one that believes is the guy that acts on it. Amen? Lord, help our unbelief. Help our unbelief. And of course, you know, as we know that great testimony, probably no testimony that I'm aware of that was any more verifiably confirmed through medical science, as they actually sat there and watched it under their own microscopes right before their very eyes in current time. It wasn't a testimony. It was something they were observing with their own eyes. And as they took that spittle, that death, whatever that plague was, you know, there was just a current outbreak in something. I don't remember exactly what it was. I believe it was in Tanzania. I mean, not in Tanzania, in Tasmania, was it? Madagascar. What's that? Madagascar. And This is just a few weeks back. Some of you probably heard it. I don't get news. I didn't know there was a bombing in a subway, and I didn't know trains fell off of tracks and stuff until just today somebody told me that what's going on. So I like it that way. Keep all that stuff out of your mind. Now I have cluttered my mind, I have to confess, just recently, especially as I look around here. This is what church in a Hallmark movie would look like. So I have seen a couple of Hallmark movies this last little bit of time, but to keep our minds just in tune with what the Lord's doing and not distracted by what the world's up to. But somebody had shared recently that there was this thing in Madagascar, and that people that had contracted it were dying within just hours. And if you received it from the fluids, it was just hours, and if it was airborne, that you could live up to a day. Pretty potent stuff. You'd like to see immigration working well to keep those people out, wouldn't you? How great to see a man of God rise up in this generation and just walk into that place and begin to assist people and pray in the name of Jesus and lay hands on the sick and watch them recover. Amen. And as they took that spittle and put it in John G. Lake's hands and under the microscope watched that disease, as soon as it touched him, die. That's available to every one of us in here tonight. God is no respecter of persons. According to our faith, it will be unto us. But see, we've got to do something. We've got to act upon it. Faith without works, or let's say it this way, we've heard it before, faith without corresponding action is dead. That's why you see some of the great evangelists of days gone by, and we see it from being a biblical, absolutely a biblical thing to do. As Peter went in to the temple site and the lame man that was there, and he looked upon him and they fastened eyes together. He said, "Look upon us. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk." The command to believe with action. Amen? If you're healed, get up. That faith, that understanding that we're going to have to act. "Lord, if it be you, bid me to come." Jesus said, "Come," and Peter stepped out of the boat, praise God. You know, you might be the trailblazer. Thank God for the great cloud of witnesses that we have, amen? But you know, Peter had never had anybody before him do it. And his faith was not in faith. His faith was not in his knowledge of the Bible. His faith was in the person who just said, "Come." Amen? See, we don't believe in promises. We believe in Jesus. We got to believe him more. Don't believe in all of what we memorize. Thank God for the covenant promises that He has provided for us. But it's only when we're in communion with Him and He gives us that specific mandate. Come, praise God. Rise up. That there's a supernatural force that comes into our being that causes us to act without thinking, without consequences entering our mind, in absolute obedience and expectation that God, being one with His Word, will confirm His Word with signs following. Praise God. Amen? Don't you want that kind of faith? Some of us, you know, some of us might want to rethink that and go, no, I don't think I really want that if it's requiring acting on it. I'm not really interested in walking into furnaces or getting out of boats into a storm. I'm not really interested in going and walking into that community where there's all of the violence and gun and gangs to share Jesus. I've shared the testimony with you in many years past, and I'm trying to remember, the name just won't come to me right now, but I've shared the testimony. Some of you have probably heard it from other places other than here, but during the Jesus movement, and a young man moving in faith and power, and as he was out ministering to these different gangs, and the guy that had put a gun to his head and threatened him, and he said, you deny the name of Jesus or I'll kill you right here. And he spoke with the same boldness that Jesus did. This is not advisable if we're not moving in faith. Amen. And you know, it's kind of like the seven sons of Sceva thing. And he has a gun to his head and he said, I'm going to kill you. And the guy looked him dead in the eye and he said, you can't kill me. That's not always advisable to tell a guy that's got the gun to your head. Unless you're moving in faith, amen? It's times like that that you want to yell, I've got feathers. I love that testimony. There was a little old lady down in 17th and O church that C.M. Ward was pastoring. Oh, the name just about came to me. Hallelujah. If I sit down, it probably will. But anyway, at this particular juncture, this guy was serious. He was going to carry his mission out. And he pulled the trigger back on that gun. And it dismantled in his hand. To what degree, I don't know. If God's for us, nobody can be against us. You find yourself in a situation where we're out ministering, and as I said, in whatever circumstances we find ourselves in, boldly declaring the Word of God. And they came to kill him and to throw him over the cliff, and he walked right out of the midst of them. Amen? God can make you invisible. He can transport you to another place. I like what this one comment was in this book, that it said that one of the things that we need to be very careful of in our prayer lives and in our allowing God to work faith in us This is Andrew Murray speaking, and he says, "Beware in your prayers above everything else of limiting God. Not only by unbelief, but by fancying that you know what he can do. Expect unexpected things above all that we ask or think." I think if we're honest with ourselves that the more familiar we become with this world and its system, its philosophies, we wouldn't like to think this, but I want to tell you something. All of the knowledge of this world drains our faith. The more you know about science makes it harder to believe. The more you know about physics, the tougher it is to walk on water. And they marveled. These were unlearned men. With a simple faith. A childlike faith. A relationship with Jesus. And so what I'm encouraging us tonight and what the scripture is saying here is the need to realize that as we're wanting to really become serious in our pursuit of God and getting into that prayer closet and being quiet with God. Andrew Murray goes on in that paragraph that he's speaking there, and he said, "By means all things must be set aside and the importance given to quietness with God. Hear his voice over the wind and waves." Amen. You know, our study of the scriptures is a reprogramming of our minds. Now we'll develop this a little more as we go on in some of these principles, but let me just share something with you tonight. Faith does not move mountains. God moves mountains. Amen? He said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, "Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea," and it shall obey you. Amen? You can't move mountains. Faith doesn't move mountains. Faith gets us to believe God can move mountains. As we go on, we'll see then that part of the problem is, and people have made this mistake, into thinking then that when we come to know all of these promises and we've memorized these scriptures, that we can initiate mountain moving. God will only remove a mountain when the removing of that mountain brings him the most glory. Amen? Amen? "And my words abide in you." Then you can ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. So number one tonight, we want to see that we've got to be ready and willing to act upon what we hear in our prayer closets. We've got to be willing to act upon when we find ourselves out in the middle of that lake in the midst of a storm. The miraculous. What were they doing in the midst of that storm? They were not out there fishing on vacation. They were out there in obedience to Jesus to go to the other side of the lake to continue preaching the gospel. Amen? What am I saying? Be about Father's business. It's a safe place to be. Praise God. God will protect you. He will, as we saw in the scriptures, go with you and confirm the word with signs following. He'll go before us and make a way there where there is no way. He will be our rear guard, the scripture says. We'll never be safer than we're walking obedience to the commandments of God and about Father's business. So don't worry about getting involved with demons, and don't worry about those that are out bringing persecution and gangs and all of the things that cause such great fear in the hearts of men. We're not talking about presumptuousness. We're talking about obedience. We're talking about choosing God over circumstances. But beloved, we've got to do something. Be ready to act upon it. Encourage those that you're ministering to act upon it. Looking for God to move. Turn over with me for just a second. Don't you love this story in 1 Samuel 14 with Jonathan? And I like the phrasing there that's important for what we're talking about here. And you remember, of course, in the midst of all of the warfare that's going on, as normal, they're in conflict with the Philistines, and the scripture tells us in this 14th chapter that the garrison of Philistines had them surrounded, if you please, overwhelmed in firepower. But Jonathan, it says in verse 6, turns to the young man. You know, there's something in the scriptures that becomes very obvious. Our need to find young men that are willing to obey God and be trained up in aggressive faith. I don't want to call it a reckless faith. There's a phrase in this book here that I like. Let's see if I can find it. Yeah, here it is. I'll just go ahead and read it to you. It's by A.B. Simpson. He says, one of the special marks of the Holy Ghost in apostolic ministry was the, quote, spirit of boldness. One of the most essential qualities of faith, a faith that will attempt great things for God, attempt that will expect great things from God, is holy audacity. I like that. Not reckless. Not something that is, you know, self-connived. But a boldness, an audacity that'll actually stand up in the midst of circumstances and defy it to its face. That's the kind of faith I want. Amen? Amen. A faith that isn't moved by those circumstances, isn't moved by wind and waves, isn't moved by the fact that we're outnumbered, that can stand and take the young man with you and say, son, I want you to understand something here very clearly. There's more for us than there are for them. Amen? We need to train our kids that way. We're living in a world right now where the masses that are mocking God and living in this crooked and perverse generation. The suppression of the gospel. To where we have this next generation being raised up and following our example. And just saying, I want you to know something. It doesn't matter what it looks like. In all things, we are more than conquerors. Amen? Get your eyes off the circumstances. I don't care what that doctor's report said. I don't care what that MRI said. I don't care what the symptoms say. I want you to know something. Greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. We can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. Praise God. Amen? Amen? It's not enough to teach them, though, and not lead them. Amen. There's more for us. Hallelujah. There's more for us. What was the prophet's cry? Lord, open his eyes. Oh, that we would have spiritual understanding come to us. That we would be able to, in our lives, look at circumstances that we're facing right now. I don't care what it is, whether it's relational, whether it's financial, whether it's physical. Ask God to open your eyes to see the truth about this situation. And the truth is, you're healed, praise God. The truth is, God will meet all your needs according to His riches and glory, praise God. Lord, open our eyes. Amen. The prayer of that prophet. The Joshuas that ascend the mountain with Moses. No one else was allowed to go. The priests couldn't go. The elders couldn't go. God knows young hearts that are totally given over to Him. God knows young hearts and young people that are in pursuit of God that'll say, bless God, I'm going to go up and take it. Amen? We need to find those people and pour our lives into them. And the Scripture tells us very clearly here in this passage that Jonathan then turned to the young man that bare his armor. And he made this comment, and we know the passage. Come, and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. Now look at this. It may be that the Lord will work for us. Now he's not in doubt here. He's just saying, I'm not going to base my obedience on my understanding, on circumstances. I'm going to do the Word of God. Whether I get what I am expecting in the natural or not. Very much like the three Hebrew children. As they're prepared to go into that furnace. And they said, you need to know something, King. Our God will deliver us, but even if He doesn't, we're not serving your gods. Amen? That's the spirit that Jonathan's moving in here. Basically, we can say it this way, along with what Hebrews 11 says. If we're going to die, let's die in faith. Amen? Faith without corresponding action is dead faith. It's unproductive. You see, I'm not saying that you don't have faith. I'm not saying that there's not a relationship with God. The fact that we don't act upon it means that it will not be productive. It'll die on the vine. What germinates within us and then what begins to manifest in fruition The fruition is what comes with the obedience and the acting, the stepping out of the boat, the getting up from where you are here outnumbered and saying, let's just go get these guys. Now, God has many ways to deliver us, doesn't he? And we won't go into all that right now, but we approach sometimes the Word of God and our circumstances with preconceived ideas of how God's going to deliver us. And when it doesn't happen that way, we faint. God didn't answer my prayer. Yes, he did. He said, I'm not going to do it that way. Now, why don't you just sit back and watch? Amen. That watching, that we're not talking about a total passivity. We're talking about sitting back and watching what God is going to do and how he is going to then ultimately use us and deliver us. And we've shared before, sometimes it's active faith and sometimes it's passive faith. But it's always a living faith, a dynamic faith, a faith that acts. And so we see Jonathan here and he turns to the young man. He said, okay, let's go up. It may be that the Lord will work for us. For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. Can you say praise God for that? All things are possible to he that believes. What do you believe in God for tonight? What is it that he's promised to you that still has not manifested itself, that you know to be the will of God? Have you got quiet enough to listen how he wants to finish this thing? Are you still holding to your own theory, your own methods, your own wisdom, your own pride? You see, faith in God is submission to his lordship. And without that, none of the rest of this is going to work. And so the scripture goes on and tells us he can save by many or he can save by few. And his armor bearer said unto him, do all that is in your heart. Turn you, behold, I am with thee according to thy heart. Now, you know, we're the ones that are the, as we look at this, we're the ones that are the armor bearer. Many of us have made that statement to the Lord, and then the Lord begins to go into battle, and we say, nah, I don't think I'm going. I had a guy write me a note one time, quoting this verse to me. A young man that served in the ministry here. A young man to this day who hates me, hates this ministry, and is still actively one of the people out opposing us. And I have the note. I still have it in my desk drawer. I hope to show it to him someday when he repents. As Jonathan Ernst wrote this note and said, Pastor, as Jonathan's armor bearer, I commit to you and I say, do what is in your heart. Behold, I am with you according to your heart. Well, he didn't see it through. And we don't always see it through, do we? And we receive a promise with the Lord, or we're in prayer and we're in fellowship with the Lord, and he quickens our hearts. And at that moment, we'll say, yes, Lord, go on up. I'm with you. However you want to use me, whatever you want me to do, just speak it, praise God. And before we're out the door, Satan comes and steals the word out of our hearts. You see, we all know very clearly by Jesus' teaching on the parable of the sower that the tending of the ground is our responsibility. God's word never returns void. God's word always produces after its own kind. We are born again by the incorruptible seed of God, the scripture says. But see, we don't have that character to, you know, there's that stony part of our lives and we get excited and then it doesn't come to fruition because we get distracted by something else, or lust carries us off in this direction, or fear carries us off in that direction. Our God does do a part. He visits us and we experience some touch from God and we get all excited and we start praising God and we'll go out and shout it from the housetops until the little ache comes back again and we have to deal with that warfare one more time. But instead we just say, oh, I thought God had delivered me and I guess I'm not really free. Pull down every thought and every evil imagination that exalts itself against the word of God. Amen. You're not bringing that back on me. God set me free. Praise God. You see, these victories are not always all won in one momentary visitation. Many of these battles are what builds character in our lives, to where we begin to learn, experience, Romans says. We, by reason of use, having our senses exercised then to discern good and evil. But thank God in this situation, and we know the end of the story, so we won't spend a lot of time on it. But how God visits that camp and in a moment destroys the power of the enemy. And the earth, verse 15 says, quaked, a very great trembling. The fear that came upon the enemy, the dispersion. The enemy comes against us in one way, but he flees in seven. That's what we expect, amen? We don't do the fleeing, he does the fleeing. There's no greater passage for this than just a couple of chapters over, having to do with young David. His lack of fear of Satan, of the circumstances. His ability to draw upon God's presence in his life. His ability to expect beyond. As we're talking tonight, our God is able to do exceeding abundant above anything that we could ask or think. Whatever you can believe, God can do. Amen? You know, the passage there in John, where the Lord speaks, and again, this one aspect as we were pulling this up, we've shared this, of course, in the past, but I really like to refresh myself periodically in some of these principles. When we see the scripture speaking to us, and in John 15, verse 7, you can turn over there if you want, we're winding up here, but we've quoted it so many times tonight. Two words in this passage This is the most powerful verse probably on prayer in the scriptures. And that aspect of relationship, of lordship, of communing with Him, of being quiet and letting God set the course and letting God move in His omniscient ways and just trusting and knowing that He's going to watch over His word and perform it so we don't panic. We don't just default into plan B because things aren't looking good in the moment. We refuse to back off and say, if God doesn't deliver us, I'm not going your way, praise God. This audacious spirit, defiant spirit against the lies of the enemy. The swag that we should have as believers when approaching the enemy. You've seen it. You've seen it with these different boxers or different athletes. You know, if it's a great athlete, if it's a Tiger Woods or it's a Michael Jordan, if it was a Dick Butkus of old, I like what they said about Jack Nicklaus. They said, the problem we had, and he played in probably the greatest era of golf and dominated statistically. And I might not get this right. It might get right as I speak it, but you'll get the point anyway. But he said, the problem was, when Jack showed up at the tournament and we came into the final day on Sunday, the problem was we knew he was the best guy out here. And he knew he was the best guy out here. But the real problem was he knew that we knew that he was the best guy out here. And that's how we walk into the room and approach Satan. Amen? And circumstances. And that's how we as a John G. Lake take that in our hands and let it die. And that's how we, in following Jesus, are able to speak to the tomb of Lazarus and say, come forth, praise God. That's how we can stand like an Elijah and dry the heavens up for 3.5 years at our own word. Because we know we're representing God. Oh, beloved, if we could come to that place of knowing we're here representing God. I'm not here in my own strength. I'm not here because of my own desires. I haven't designed this thing. I'm here in obedience, and God's going to be glorified. And you better know something. I'm not leaving here anyway but victorious. My faith is the victory, praise God. If God is for me, nobody can be against me. And so the power of this passage, and especially in the Greek, the word ask there, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done. That word ask literally in the Greek means to demand as your due. That's powerful. Now remember, you're not demanding God. You're demanding that the circumstances conform to the will of God. We're not demanding of God something that He doesn't want to do. You see, when God puts into your bank account $1,000 and you go down there to withdraw it and make a demand upon that, you're not walking up to God and saying, I demand you to give me $1,000. He already gave you the $1,000. You are now withdrawing it. He already willfully offered it up to you. So why pretend that you don't have any money? Why pretend that these circumstances are greater than our faith or the promises of God? Our bank account is full of miracles, and we need to demand some of them, praise God. With great expectation, demand as your due. I like what he goes on and says here. It's really this is G. Campbell Morgan writing, and he makes this comment. He says, no violence is done to this passage if we speak it this way. And if instead of whatsoever you will, we read whatsoever you are inclined to. The word translated done in the Greek means to be generated, to be created. And he goes on and makes this great observation. And we've shared it before. But if we know the heart of God and we know the word of God and he's spoken a rhema into our hearts, the question is anything too hard for the Lord? He says when we draw on that account of his promises and speak what he's already spoken, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. And that word done means if it doesn't exist, he will create it at that moment to fulfill his word to you. Think about that. So when the doctors look and say, this is a disease, we have no hope. We're a people that hope against hope. Amen. I don't see any way out of this, but God will create a way. And it may be something that nobody's ever seen before. Exceeding abundant above anything that we could ask or even think. Let's get bold in what we're believing God for. Let's act upon what we say we believe. That God could be glorified. Father, we come tonight and just lift your name up in praise and worship. We thank you for your greatness and we thank you for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, that you're preparing in us even now a supernatural boldness. We ask you to cause us to hearken back. Young David looked upon that giant Goliath and he just despised him. And with audacity stood before him and declared a victory. Because the same God that delivered him from the lion and the bear is going to deliver him from this giant. The same God that removed my sins. The same God that in the past has healed my body and answered my prayers is here on the scene and he will do whatsoever I ask, praise God. Oh, I ask you now, Father, by your Holy Spirit to come into this place even now and stir our hearts. Faith without works is dead, Father. Where is the corresponding action? Even now, tonight, even at this moment, Father, let us act upon your word. Those of us that are in pain, let us stand to our feet. Let us begin to move and do things that we could not do before without pain, and see the pain gone, and see the victory won, and declare the victory in the name of Jesus. We don't believe you if we don't act. We don't believe you if we don't step forward toward the furnace and say, our God is able. And even if he doesn't, we will not accept this world's judgments. My God, who delivered me from the lion and the bear, will deliver me from this particular tribulation, temptation, test, and trial. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's just stand and just worship him for just a moment and just declare his greatness and declare the victory won. Make your choice tonight. Am I going to step out? Am I going to believe God? Or am I just going to step back again? And faint. I will not be dissuaded. I will not be found disobedient. Lord, as you promised the centurion that day, according to your faith, it will be unto you. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? According to your faith, it'll be unto you. What do you want me to do tonight on your behalf? Hallelujah. Fill us with a holy boldness. Heal our bodies, Father. Empower us with the Holy Spirit. Oh, we delight in you. We praise you, Lord. We thank you for the victory that's won. The fruit of our lips giving thanksgiving to your name. Oh, I know in whom I'm believed and I am persuaded. Hallelujah. Lord, that you keep that that's been committed to you. Against that great day of the Lord. Not settling for anything less. So now, Father, we ask that you would encourage our hearts. Don't let the seed be taken from our hearts before we get to our cars. Don't let us be robbed as we get to our homes and have not seen the manifestation yet. Oh, hallelujah. Joy comes in the morning. As we sleep, Father, let the pain be gone. As we sleep, in our sleep, Holy Spirit, fill us and let us be awakened, speaking in another tongue and glorifying God. Our faith is the victory. Hallelujah. Grant it, Father, and we'll praise you in the name of Jesus. We'll boldly confess the truth of your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, turn to somebody next to you and say, our faith is the victory. Praise God. Amen. Go in peace. God's love go with you.